Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. So hello, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. We have a fantastic interview for you this week. But before I go into that, I just want to ask you one quick favor. Would you take some time to rate and review the show on iTunes? That way, it gives us the opportunity to push the show up the rankings so more women like yourself get to hear the show. I know you love what you've heard and would really appreciate the support. This week, I'm in delightful conversation with Dr. Jacqueline P. James Little, PhD. Jacqueline graduated the first female engineering graduate from the United States Coast Guard Academy with the Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering in 2000. She received a Master's of Science in Architectural Engineering and the Doctor of Philosophy in Civil and Architectural Engineering from the University of Miami in 2002 and 2005, respectively. She received her first faculty appointment as a postdoctorate fellow from the Booz Allen Hamilton Inc. to join the faculty at the United States Coast Guard Academy in 2005, where there she taught civil engineering courses and volunteered as a sprint coach of the Coast Guard Academy men's and women's track team. She was hired by the Civil Architecture Environment Engineering Department at the University of 2007, where she taught courses in architectural engineering. As an academic, Dr. James Little was awarded funding to conduct research on numerous topics, including a sustainability study of the proposed Argyle International Airport in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, her home country, a feasibility study on the use of the crushed cathode ray tubes as aggregate replaced in concrete, and the development of a novel mould and mildew-resistant construction material. She's been the advice to 11 graduate students and mentor to cover over 100 undergraduates. She is the first author of several papers and conference presentations for a number of years. And in 2007, she founded Imara Engineering Consulting and currently practices in South Florida, where they serve the US and Caribbean, providing services in green building design and engineering, renderings, construction management, systems integration, sustainable green design and certification, engine analysis, computational fluid dynamics, and interior design services. In 2010, Dr. James joined EEP Investing LLC as their chief executive officer, where she oversees the management of the several companies owned by the same, the largest of which is Tarracon Records, and which is founded in August 2007 by her husband, artist Kevin Little. Other brands under the EEP umbrella include her Brainchild Kidsville, a unique babysitting and tutoring concept offered at malls nationwide, Chillin' Restaurant in St. Vincent, and the Janice Little Foundation in honour of her husband's late mother to help win the battle for heart disease. The foundation to date has donated over $500,000 US dollars worth of supplies and equipment to the Milton Cato Hospital in St. Vincent and the Grenadines following the December 2013 disaster. In 2011, Dr. James Little was honoured as a trailblazer by the Miami Commission on the Status of Women. And in 2012, she was chosen as one of the women who have made outstanding contribution to the University of Miami community. And in 2014, Dr. James Little was named one of Miami-Dade County's 25 most influential and prominent Black women in business and leadership. More recently, September 2017 found her being honoured by DDEA organisation as a humanitarian for the work done with the Janice Little Foundation and Galleon Foundation. She's a member of the American Society of Civil Engineering, the National Society of Black Engineers, the American Society of Heating, Refrigerating and Air Conditioning Engineers, the Society of Women Engineers, and the Architectural Engineering Institute. She's married to international soca superstar Kevin Little, and they live in Miami with their son, Kevin J. So, phenomenal women listeners, it's not often I get to meet my interviewees before I do an interview. But a little story between my meeting and Jacqueline. We've been introduced via a previous interviewee, Karen Hines. And so you've got to meet this woman. You've got to know this. You've got to know this woman. So we connected by email, et cetera, et cetera. And I just happened to be on my little sabbatical in Miami. So I reached out to Jacqueline and said, look, could we meet, et cetera, et cetera. And we did. And gosh, we hit it off like a house on fire. So I'm really delighted to have the opportunity to meet her beforehand and to have this chat with her, because as you would have heard from her bio, she's an extremely accomplished young woman. She's an extremely ambitious, from what I can see, lady, and I am just excited to really hear a little bit more about her and her rise and her background. So Jacqueline, the people have had enough of hearing about me. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you come from, please.
Well, Dr. Jacqueline James Little.
Oh, sorry, Jack. Yes, Dr. Jacqueline James Little.
That was me introducing. Yes, I am. I'm from the very tiny, beautiful island of St. Vincent and the Grenadines. We're 32 islands and keys, and I'm very proud of them. I was born in Châtelet, but lived most of my... That's a little town on the north side near the volcano.
Okay.
I lived most of my time in a little community we call Vermont, as opposed to Vermont in the U.S. It's Vermont, we say.
Okay.
I'm there until I left for university in the United States of America.
Okay. And university, your choice of career, engineering. What was the key motivator for that? Yeah, 'cause it's a very male dominated environment.
It is. It really is. But if I was to be real about it, I really didn't get into engineering because I've been dreaming about it all my life and this is where I needed to go. No. I mean, like most of the kids on my in my island, I needed to get out.
Right.
I needed to go to school. I didn't care how I was going to do it. How wasn't my issue, wasn't my problem. The universe was doing that. I just knew I was going. And so I applied everywhere. I knew that I loved math. I was good at it.
Yeah.
Geography, I was good at it. And so something that combined those seemed to be architecture to me.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to do initially. Once I got to the Coast Guard Academy, my mentor, my advisor, pulled me aside and he said, you know, you're so good in math. How about you consider civil engineering?
Yeah.
So I said, you know, let me take some of the courses and see. Yeah. And boom, I loved all those little equations and here's where I'm at.
rather you than me. So there's a huge drive to get women into STEM industries. I get, as you know, I've worked in telecoms and that was also male dominated. There are very few women in that environment. So to any women listen to this who are interested in that field, what kind of advice would you give them about getting into it?
Go for it.
Yeah.
The thing about being one of the few females in a male-dominated environment, you stand out.
And the few and, women and of color.
Yeah, or even fewer. Right? You absolutely stand out. And I've never wanted to be a person that fit in or be quote-unquote normal.
Yeah.
When you stand out, to me, the opportunities are bigger. You get noticed more. You can do what you want to do more because eyes are on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's really an opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah.
I believe that any girl, any woman who believes that she can get involved in science and engineering, go for it.
Yeah. But one of the challenges I think women have, and certainly in my experience, is literally the confidence. I mean, the minute you started talking about maths and equations, I'll be honest with you, I glazed over. Because that was never my, that personally for me was never my strong suit, even though I found myself in that industry. So how would you say they can get their confidence or look to increase their confidence to move into that field?
fear. It's such a big, powerful word. Yeah. And a lot of us get crippled by it.
Yes.
Having that same conversation with a dear friend of mine the other day, and most entrepreneurs actually, they'll admit that that's their biggest weakness.
Yeah.
And so there are a few things that I do, you know, that actually help me in the arena of confidence, building right. confidence. You're a woman who've gotten to, whether it's your high school, college, wherever you're at, you would have achieved certain things if you have the mindset of, I want to get involved in science and engineering.
Yes.
You would have had it written down somewhere. You would have applied for college, something.
Yeah.
Go back and read that a little bit.
Right.
Remind yourself who you are.
Right.
Where you came from.
Yeah.
And that somehow really, really does build confidence. The other thing I do, I don't think I get up any morning without some affirmations.
Right. Right.
Mostly affirmations of gratitude, but I find that those things really do help to build confidence.
Okay.
They really
okay.
do. I don't, when it comes to the background, the women are never lacking the know-how or the skills.
Yes.
But it really is, look at this. When you're younger, if you had a brother, your dad would come and he would say, "Hey, Johnny, come help me build this thing in the back."
Yeah.
"Hey,
yeah.
Johnny, come help me yeah. change the car tires," right?
Yeah.
And dad would never say, "Hey, Jackie, come help yeah. me do this thing." And so I think really and truly, it starts there.
Yeah.
It starts there.
It's true. It's true.
With the expectations in your household, in society, it starts there. And but it's never the know-how.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you recognizing that you have the know-how
yeah.
and yeah. building into that confidence that the boys somehow have instilled in them by having yeah. a little hands-on.
Yeah, yeah. So it's more about conditioning. So I remember as a girl being described as a tomboy because mm-hmm. I was the one up trees. I was the one with the slingshot. I was the one trying to fix things with a hammer, you know. And I mean, fair play to my mom. She never kind of said, "Janice, you need to be, you know, put on a dress." But I can understand, mm-hmm. and I've seen it where people say, you know, you need to be more ladylike, for instance, mm-hmm. or, you know, and like you're right, that's the kind of thing we need to dispel. So yes. Jacqueline, you talked about affirmations. You're a big believer in affirmations. Can you share one of your favorites and why it's meaningful for you?
You know, as women, we have to remind ourselves a lot, and it's unfortunate. That we're beautiful. Yeah. It's unfortunate that we're beautiful.
Yes.
That we're all beautiful, no matter what, right? Because there are a lot of stereotypes of what beauty should be.
Yes.
And a lot of a woman's confidence comes from that beauty or what yeah. she perceives to be her beauty.
Yeah.
And so if you remind yourself, "I am smart, I am powerful, I am beautiful, I am strong," and you say it over and over and over and over again, 21 days, 30 days,
yeah.
you start believing it. It becomes yeah. a part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and so for me, anything that, I don't even watch TV, but anything that's TV, society, or anybody else tries to tell women,
yes,
I hear on a daily basis that might contribute to some kind of brainwashing, I go against it by choosing the affirmations that are opposite to that,
okay.
you know. And okay. so those are the ones. Gratitude affirmations are my most powerful, my biggest ones. But
yeah. And I had an earlier guest that talked about having a gratitude attitude, and she actually made a business out of it, and she cured herself of MS by practicing gratitude naturally. So wow. it's a very, very powerful tool to use. So Jacqueline, as I said, you're very accomplished, but throughout that period, what has been the most satisfying challenge you've overcome?
You know, my biggest challenge has been of a personal nature. There was a lot of darkness in my teenage life.
Okay.
I was raised in a home where there was domestic abuse.
Right.
And children, it's something else for children and going through things like that. I developed anger issues without knowing I had anger issues.
Right.
And it almost destroyed one of my first and my first significant relationships.
Okay.
And seeking help and being determined to live in the light from that darkness is really was the challenge that I overcame, and I think successfully, and it was the biggest one for me, because there's not much else I can do. However smart you are, however accomplished you are, if that kind of darkness is living inside you, I don't see you being very successful. And in order for you to come out and be your best you, and achieve what you're supposed to achieve, I think you really have to, you know, outshine that darkness with some light. You know, you have to be healed from whatever that thing was.
Right.
And so I had to be healed, and I think that was me overcoming my biggest challenge.
And you talk about healing. I don't want to dwell on it too much because I know it's obviously a personal situation, but you talk about healing. Was it you healed by yourself, or did you reach out for help?
I reached out for help.
Okay.
During my grad school years, my boyfriend at the time introduced me to a program that the school had.
Right.
I went to them. It was just off just that need to feel better.
Right.
To be honest, in the Caribbean, we don't dwell a lot on getting help and seeing people and fixing yourself. It's a sign of weakness or what, but at that time, he made sense to me. I wanted to feel better.
Right.
And I went with him to my first few sessions and then by myself.
So the advice really is what I'm hearing is if you're going through a similar situation or an abusive situation, is to reach out for help. It's not a weakness. It's a huge sign of strength, to be honest. And I think, as you said, as women, we tend to bottle it up and we see it as embarrassing or a shame or weakness. So thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. So conversely, Jacqueline, what has been your biggest career triumph?
Ooh.
And you're a woman of many talents.
You know, there are things I remember fondly and happily, such as starting my own business, my engineering firm. Opening Kidsville to check its viability. Kidsville is a little childcare place that I'm still working on the concept. And all of that. But what I still hold dearest in my heart is my first breakthrough. I'm going to tell you the story a little bit. It pays to be, I know there's a saying, you catch more flies with honey.
Yeah.
It really pays to be honey. It really does. that's not saying you can't be firm and assertive and whatnot, but really at the Coast Guard Academy, I developed so many relationships with the professors, other students, the athletes. And so when I left, they remembered me.
Yes.
You know, I was, they remembered me. And I think people remember how you make them feel. And so that's important. And so I was in my second to last year of my PhD.
Yeah.
And I got a call from my ex-advisor. And he was saying to me, oh, you know, we're having some changes in the engineering department and we're looking for new professors.
Yeah.
And he says, when are you graduating? And I said, in about a year. and he said, well, I thought of you first. And that, you know, the warmth that comes with that was wow.
Yeah.
You know? He said, I thought of you first. And, I wanted to reach out because, you know, it's kind of my department and I want to recommend you. And I just want to make sure it's for next fall, blah, blah, blah. By that time I would be graduated.
Yeah.
But I want you want it to be you if you have us. And then he said, and here I am, not yet out of grad school, started thinking about what to do when I left grad school. And he said, and as a grad school at that, at the, as a grad student at that time, my salary was $900 a month.
Right.
So they were, you know, a stipend and whatever as a teaching assistant. And that's what I was living on, happily poor, going to school, you know. And then he said next, you know, the salary is $90,000. I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
I pulled over my car. I wanted to ask him, are you talking US or EC dollars? Talking US dollars. And I am telling you, I cried for about 30 minutes.
Wow.
I cried and I thank God. Like, I probably said thank you 1,000 times.
Wow.
And I was that, I've always remembered that moment.
Yes.
It was the start. It was the beginning for me, and it was huge.
Yeah.
Because this little island girl, when I left for school, I never thought that would be the end point.
Yes.
Well, the beginning.
Yes, yes.
It really felt good. And every time I talk about it,
right,
it feels
good. I can see.
I can hear that.
I was just going, I lost my train of thought just then. I was going to say, for our international listeners, EC dollars is about, it's 2.7 EC dollars to a US dollar. So you need to understand the significance of the amount Jacqueline's talking about. And yes, I recall now. And what I was going to say was what I was thinking, and listeners would have heard me talk about in other shows about the on-confidence impact. Unconscious influencer, and the influence, like you say, how we make people feel with our interaction, we don't realize it. And we talk about, you know, people have first impressions, or how, you know, what's the influence you leave on that person even without you knowing. And that came back for you. That was your honey.
Yes.
So Jacqueline, as I said, you're involved in many businesses. You're also involved in your husband's career. So has there been a time where you've been assertive or confident, and especially, and again, in the male-dominated environment, but people perceive this as bossy? And how do you overcome that?
This is not meant to sound cocky or anything, but I embrace bossy. I truly do. And whether it's because I went to school at a military academy, or I became a female engineer, or whatever it is, every single time you did something better than the guys, you went, yes! I mean, and it became really natural. And then it became natural to say, hey, do this way, don't do that way. Because first and foremost, when you work with men, this is how they speak to each other. You should do this, you shouldn't do that, and they don't take offense to it so much, and they speak to each other that way.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten, you know, and then they would call women bossy when women speak that way.
Right, it's true, yes.
To speak that way, that's not to say that you have to be rude. I mean, there is an absolute difference between having an attitude, being rude, and being bossy.
You know
what I mean? Being bossy just means I'm a leader. I know what I'm talking about.
And
I embrace it.
That's my slogan today.
But think about it. I mean, I don't know if you've seen me on Facebook. What's my name on Facebook? It's the Little Boss Lady, LYTTOE from my last year. Boss Lady, I completely and fully embrace this.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That was my nickname, Boss Lady. All address me as Boss Lady. So that's my slogan today, is embrace the bossy. I love it. Love it. So Jacqueline, what's been a book that's influenced you throughout your career journey?
There have been several.
Yeah.
There's been, let me see, Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yeah.
Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist.
Okay.
Rhonda Byrne's The Secret.
Okay.
And Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, also Yeah, Spencer Johnson, Who Moved My Cheese? And Who Moved My Cheese is not something you might hear a lot of people talk about, a book that's on their book list.
Yeah.
But when you've gone to the military, a military academy, or been anywhere around the military, and you serve with very powerful men,
yes,
who are used to what they're used to,
yeah,
the idea of change, the idea of freshness, the idea of a new breeze is really daunting, you know?
Yeah.
And so you have to get into their minds and understand who moved my cheese, yeah, is important to get along with them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you understand them, then things don't become so personal.
Right.
And again, you can spread that honey versus having an attitude.
Yeah, excellent.
So, that's one of the reasons that book is on there. But the one that guides me is Think and Grow Rich.
Right.
And I think different strokes for different folks, though, because truly there's different ways and methods of achieving success.
Yes.
And however, whichever one vibes with who you are and where you want to go in life, that's what you're going to gravitate.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I want to be an engineer, I'm going to read about being an engineer. So I think that with, you know, everything I wanted to do in life, and then the fact that I am attracted more to entrepreneurship,
right,
that this book was really it for me.
Okay. So leading on from that, Jacqueline, what would be your definition of success?
Well, there are different levels of success, and there are different sizes, I think, of success. And
okay. And
to me, anytime you achieve a goal, period,
yes,
that's success.
To be celebrated. Right.
It should be. And that's something I think we don't do
as
well as we should.
Yeah.
If my goal today was to finish these 7 things and I did, I've succeeded.
Yes.
It's a small thing.
Yeah.
Or if my goal is to become a pediatrician and I did it, that's a big success.
Yeah.
Either way, it's success.
Yeah.
You know? And then if we look at it from the point of view of these are the things I want to achieve in my life, and once I do that, I've succeeded, I think we'd be better off. But what we tend to do is to, what has she achieved? What has he achieved?
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing better than me. But is that what you want?
Yes.
You know, yes. And so that is not your success. So, you know, to me, success is you achieving that goal that you have set out.
So what I'm hearing, Jacqueline, is it's about don't compare yourself. Stop the comparisons. The goals that it's your goals and what you achieve, not what somebody else achieves, and you measure yourself against that.
Absolutely. The only person you should be in competition with is yourself.
Excellent.
Just be better than the person you were the day before.
Yeah. And I in a previous life, I was a runner, a long distance runner. And my mum always used to say to me, every time I entered a race, she'd go to me, did you win? And I'm like, Mum, I'm never going to win because, you know, I'm not Olympic standard. I said, but I finished. And my goal was to finish. And my biggest competition was, can I beat the time I did previously? You know, to me, that was my next step. That was my progression. And I also had the attitude was that, you know, the winner, I got exactly the same medal, T-shirt, cup, medallion as the winner. So, yeah, I achieved. So, yeah, so stop comparing.
I won.
Yes. So, Jacqueline, what advice would you give your teenage self looking back now?
You know, I think I'll tell her, you are doing way better than you think you are.
Yeah.
I would tell her, you got it. Because it was a very delicate time. So the only advice I would be giving to her at that time would be a lot of encouragement.
Yeah.
You got this.
Because
I already see what's on the other side. You got this.
And if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
You know, although I would love to vibe and have really long conversations with the former first lady, Michelle Obama, Miss Oprah.
She always comes up on my list. Always comes on my list. What is it? What is it about Oprah?
You see, well, that's because although I'm an academic and I love academia, the fire for entrepreneurship with me burns, you know, more fierce.
Yes.
And so for me, having her as a mentor, it's what works for you, you know? Yeah. Lady Obama is fantastic. Yeah. And if I were to be solely an academic, we could talk all day and I can really get into her in that way. Yeah. But because I want to know, because I'm chasing that money, chasing that, building empire,
yeah,
it has to be Oprah because she's done it best. And I think what else she's done best is she's learned to break doors down from the inside.
Yeah.
And I admire that so much. You have so many of us stand outside just pounding down that door.
Yeah. And complaining.
Really? Yeah.
And complaining they won't let us in.
Yeah. And we're not going to get in. So we're just fighting ourselves, really.
Yeah.
But she's tactfully and effectively broken doors down from inside.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Fabulous. So what are the three things you'd say you've learned about yourself during your career, Jacqueline?
Three things I don't like or do like?
Oh, that you've learned. You've learned about yourself.
Learned about myself. I'm extremely resourceful.
Yeah.
Extremely. If I have a 3 o'clock deadline and it's 2 o'clock, I'll find something to make it happen by 3 o'clock. Always. I have learned that sometimes I'm too kind.
Right.
And it can be a problem. But also knowing is half the battle. So I've been able to employ strategies to deal with that. But knowing that was very important. And I've learned that, like I said, I'm a little bossy. I kind of take charge. I believe that there's always a solution. I don't think that there's anything I've gone through that there was not a solution for. And aptly as an engineer, there is always a solution.
And I call that the MacGyver mindset. I call it the MacGyver mindset. So there's always a way. If there's a way around it, you look at it and you'll find it. But it's there.
Yes.
You just haven't found it yet. And then touching on, you said about the kindness. Do you think there's been times when people have taken your kindness for weakness?
They've tried. You know, I can say I may depend on who I'm dealing with and what the circumstances. I can be probably the nicest person someone has ever met, or the least nice person someone has ever met.
Yeah.
So you know, I'd be just as nice as I need to be. I don't think that I need to greet people, even if I'm in charge. I don't need to greet people with aggression or with a stern look. Or I don't need people to be afraid of me.
Yeah.
I believe personal power is more powerful than professional power. I tend to come from a place of my initial thing is to be nice to people, very nice. But I've started recognizing lines and cues. And once that happened, I quickly draw a line in the sand and it's done. I've learned to really cut things off quickly. Where in the past, I think I've let stuff drag on for a while and then have to clean it up versus prevention, you know?
Yeah.
The people have tried.
Fantastic. So what would you say your imperfections and how do you embrace them?
I think I may be a little too opinionated, and with that comes the need to listen more.
Right.
So I've been working on listening more.
Okay.
And when you are in a position of power or you're in charge of your own businesses, you think you know best a lot of times, you know?
Right.
You do have to listen, and I'm learning that more. I think I expect people to do things the way I do and in the time frame that I do.
Yeah, I know that well.
And yeah, that's a problem. And like I said, I think I still do take a little too long to cut people off.
Right.
So
right.
I may keep someone around my business a few months longer than necessary.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But it's all a work in progress.
Yes.
It's all a work in progress. So Jacqueline, very busy lady, juggling very many hats. Like I said, you have a husband that's in the what's the field I'm looking for? The entertainment field. So it's very, very busy. And you have a son. So what would you say the piece of advice you'd give for maintaining work-life balance? Now, I've had people tell me there is no work-life balance, but you know, you've got to be many people to many things. So how do you make sure that you don't burn out or you neglect the persons that matter, that they're important to you?
Yeah, that's very necessary. And I'm a Libra, so Libra, they say in the Caribbean, Libra here. Balance is so important to me.
Yeah.
I don't function well if I'm not balanced. One of the things I do is I hardly ever miss a workout. I exercise almost every day. I might skip a day, I might skip two, but then I catch up and do it a little bit harder that next day. So exercise is truly important to me. Even if it's just a small thing, I have to do it.
Yeah.
Quality time, especially with my son.
Yes.
That's so important. And I can see him needing it, you know?
Right.
And then how happy he is when he gets it.
Yeah.
So I really believe, because when I spend a lot of, and especially at his age, when I overwhelm him with the quality time, he's real ready for me to go.
That's it, Mom. That's enough now. I'm good now.
Yeah, enough, Mom. Okay. See you later. So I can go and do whatever I want for as long as I, because I just showered him crazy.
Yeah.
With
him. Yeah.
And I also believe you have to take time to rejuvenate.
Yes.
I went to St. Vincent last week and I took just one day, a 24-hour period, and I went with a couple of friends to Beckway. Beckway is one of our big Grenadine Islands. Love it. And I believe that I did like a week worth of stuff in that one day, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
We went to a party. We went to the beach. We just did dinner. We had I relaxed.
Yeah.
I looked at the sunset twice.
Yeah.
Had drinks on the beach, just everything. And by the time I got back to the mainland, I was ready again for that next set of meetings. Yeah. And I just think that you sometimes have to reset.
Yeah.
And go again. Just build up that juice, you know? Yeah.
And it's the importance of me time. I've heard people talk about they fill their cup, you know, to make sure it's going. I call it me time, you know, they just need a little bit of time. And I've had a conversation this week with someone's, you know, you've got the kids on lock, but you can always eke out, even if it's 10 minutes, just to sit somewhere, to breathe, bit of solitude, close the door, and just take 10 minutes out for yourself. It's so, so important, because as I said, if you go down, everything else goes down.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really important you make that time for yourself. So lastly, Jacqueline, my last question, because I have loved this conversation this morning. What does it mean to you to be your own hero?
To be my own hero. This is one of those questions I know that in the future I might revisit. And maybe I'll think about it maybe a little bit differently later. But for now, you know, I believe that you cannot wait for anyone to save you or validate you or tell you that you're okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying, Superman isn't coming. Superman isn't real. Right? So you have to be your own hero. You have to believe in yourself. You have to go out there and you have to make things happen for yourself, because every other time that I've seen someone saving someone has been in a fairy tale or some Hollywood movie. It really doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's not real.
Everybody's going to through something, no matter how every single person has a struggle, right?
Yeah.
That you're dealing with. So you're dealing with yours. If they were to leave theirs to save you from yours, then, you know, then they'll have to go back later and still fix theirs. So save yourself is the way I see it, you know, and we're all very capable of saving ourselves.
Fantastic. Brilliant, brilliant. So that was my last question, Jacqueline, and I have loved it. So good to see you, even if it's virtual again. It's great. It was great catching up.
Yes, great to see you.
So if anybody, any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, want to learn more about what you do, so I know you have the foundation, I know you have your businesses, how can they do that?
Okay, well, right now I can be reached. You can find me on social media. Most of my social media is open. I also can be reached on my business email. I am open and welcome to people reaching out to me at drjames@imaraengineering.com, and Imara is Imara engineering.com. I'm really open. I go to schools and do speeches for STEM students, and I stay in touch with many of them. A lot of my students from the University of Miami follow me on Facebook, and we converse every so often.
Yes.
So I am very, very open to that type of thing.
Excellent. That's lovely. And I will put all the links in the show notes for when we go live. So Jacqueline, that all remains to say is thank you so much for your time today. I know you're a very busy lady, and I totally appreciate it. And I thoroughly love the conversation.
Oh, thank you so very much for having me. It was great talking with you.
Thank you. So that was the delightful and unapologetically bossy Dr. Jacqueline James Little. And I love that conversation. She had some really good points to talk about there. So, you know, embracing the bossy, about being your own hero. There's no one coming to rescue you. You have to do that for yourself. So I really hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did the interview. Well, all that remains to be said, as ever, it's my pleasure to show up here every week and connect with like-minded women who want to live their life to its fullest and be empowered to take their career to the next level. I do hope you're inspired and enjoyed this edition of Phenomenal Woman. And if you like what you heard, please make sure you rate and review on iTunes, as that's how we get to share with all the phenomenal women that are out there. Also, make sure you share with all the phenomenal women that you know. You can connect with me via JaniceSutherland.com, and I'm on all social media platforms. So Facebook, it's I Am Janice Sutherland. Links are all in the show notes. So remember, you are the author of your own story. You control the narrative, and you have the power to give your life story a happy ending. So own it. Until next time.